So the first reading is from Genesis 15, verses 1 to 6, and it can be found on page 12 in the Church Bibles. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness.
Well, thank you, Arsene. Keep Genesis 15 open in front of you so you can follow along, because the Lord really is amazing at keeping his promises. He made two promises to Abraham, two things that Abraham did not have. And the first promise was the promise of a family. Promise of a family. So when Genesis 15 happened, Abraham is between the age of 75 and 99. And there was still no sign of any children, let alone a great big family, let alone this great nation that was going to come from that promise. Abraham had been waiting patiently for the Lord God to fulfill, to tick off his promise of a family in his time and in his way. But the delay was hurting. And we see the Lord God come to comfort Abraham. Do you see that in verse 1? After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. So the Lord knows how Abraham is feeling. Fear not, I am your shield. What a great comfort it was of the Lord God. Because a shield is a rather wonderful item to have. It protects you from harm and it protects you from annoyance. Jenny, come and join me here so you're on the camera. So Jenny's got a shield, very immaturely. I put some flour in these tights, and Jenny's very simply going to protect herself from the flour. So here we go. Oh, let's just go once more because this is great fun. Yes, brilliant. Thank you, Jenny. You can go sit down. What a useful item from annoying colleagues, but what an amazing gift it is if the Lord God is a shield himself. I mean, who could defeat the one true God of the Bible? Who could penetrate his good promises? And who could top him as our reward? That's how we should read verse 1. Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield, your very great reward. The Lord God is Abraham's prize, his reward. It's amazing, isn't it? For the adults who heard Genesis 14 preached a few weeks ago, remember how Abraham had just been victorious in a very big battle, and he had turned down a reward. He refused to take it. And now in Genesis 15, we hear that the Lord God says, I am your reward. How amazing is the Lord God? And Abraham replies to God's word, and he replies with a fearful question. Did you see that verse 2? This is what Abraham said. O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, Behold, you have given me no offspring. Verse 2, I'm childless, Lord God. Verse 3, I have no children. Abraham is struggling. Lord, I believe you, but I am struggling to trust your promises. I think we could probably all put ourselves in those ancient sandals. I believe, but help me to trust your promises. And so the Lord God responds with more comforting words, reassuring words. Verse 4, have a look down. Behold, The word of the Lord came to him, "This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir." Don't be afraid, Abraham. I haven't forgotten you. Don't doubt my word. You will have a son. And to comfort and reassure Abraham more and more, God gives him a visual word. So verse 5, the Lord brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you're able to number them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Well, hopefully you've all spotted the fact that I've been very wasteful and slightly annoying for Phil. I have littered this room full of yellow stars. And so it's a very simple game. How many can you count? Look around the room. I'm going to give you 22 seconds to see if you can count all the stars in this room. Ten seconds left. Okay, we're going to take three guesses. Good, this side of the room. Anyone want to guess from this side of the room? 500. It's a good guess, but it's not right. Anyone from this side of the room? But 100, Josh? 575 is good, but it's not right. Musicians, want to have a guess? 300. That's not even right. So the answer is 638 and a half. But I wonder, as Abraham stared up at that night sky and he tried counting them, 1, 2, 3, 1001, 1002, 1003, 100,100. I just can't do it, Lord. You've made too many. It's overwhelmingly reassuring, isn't it? Because the Lord God's promise was far, far bigger than Abraham could ever imagine. It's far bigger than just one son. Verse 5 says, "You will have such a big family, you won't be able to count them, Abraham." And so in this relationship between Abraham and between the one true Lord God, we could ask Abraham, who started this relationship? And Abraham would have to stand there and think, well, it's the Lord God. There is nothing that I have done to start this relationship. And we could also ask Abraham, who's the one who's really, really, really good at keeping this relationship going? And Abraham would probably not take very long to think, yep, it's the Lord God again. He's the one who's keeping this relationship going. The Lord God is the one who provides everything for a relationship. Abraham needs to trust the Lord and his word. And that is what he did, verse 6. Have a look down. Genesis 15, verse 6. And he, Abraham, believed the Lord, and he, the Lord, counted it to him as righteousness. See verse 6, we're told the big idea of Abraham's story. Abraham isn't described as righteous. We've seen in other stories how Abraham could never be righteous. He is full of sin. And we'll see that next week on show again. He makes poor decisions. No, Abraham enjoys a right relationship with the Lord God because the Lord God gave it to him. All Abraham did is receive all of God's promises and righteousness by faith. And not only is that the big story of Abraham's story, the big idea of Abraham's story, it's the big idea of all of God's story. Abraham's faith is an example given to all of God's family that we are all wonderfully and gracefully invited into. Later on in the Bible, we hear these words. Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised up from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. That's Romans chapter 4. See, for those who trust in the Lord God's Son, Jesus, our faith in him means that we are made right with God.
Our reading continues from in Genesis chapter 15 from verse 7. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, a great, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. And they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmizzites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites.
Amazing. Thank you, Ruth, for reading. Again, keep it open in front of you. The Lord God had promised two things to Abraham that he didn't have. One, a very large family. And the other thing that the Lord God promised to Abraham was a place to call home. But that also wasn't an easy promise. There were people living there, and we just heard their names right at the end of the chapter. There were other people living there. Abraham trusts the Lord, but he's struggling to trust in his promises, the promise of a good land. And so Abraham asks, verse 8, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? It's like ordering something online from the shipped over from China. Delivery time between 2 to 16 weeks. Lord, when's it going to arrive? And the Lord God's answer, verse 9. Seems a bit odd, doesn't it? Well, bring me a cow, a goat, a ram, bring me a turtle dove, bring me a pigeon. And that's why in the central aisles on the pillars, you should be able to see pictures of these animals to help us get the vibe of what's going on and see how Abraham obeyed. He went and got the animals, and then he cut the cow, and he cut the goat, and he cut the ram in half, all so that the Lord God could make a covenant with Abraham. It sounds all very bizarre. We see covenant promises on show at a beautiful wedding ceremony, and yet here we see covenant promises in a butcher's shop. And yet when we look at what's happening, it really is remarkably beautiful. The Lord God is still wanting to reassure Abraham, again, wanting to show him that he will keep his promise of a land, but it's far bigger than he can imagine. It's far bigger, this promise, than Abraham could ever think of. Verse 12, as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abraham, And behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abraham, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. See, at verse 12, Abraham is doing absolutely nothing again, isn't he? He's asleep. Again, if we were to ask Abraham, who's doing the hard work of this relationship, he would very clearly hold up his paddle that says, God is doing all the hard work. I'm asleep. And so God's people are completely dependent on him. And so Abraham asks, how long, Lord, before this promise of a land is going to happen? And God's answer, verse 13, was 400 years. 400 years. I mean, I cancel my eBay order from China in that time frame. The Lord God has a much, much bigger plan going on. A much bigger plan. And he wants Abraham to trust in it. Verse 13, know for certain, you will have a large family and they will enter the land. And to show how serious the Lord takes his word, he enters into a covenant, an agreement, a relationship that cannot be broken. So when verse 17, have a look down in your Bibles. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking firepot and flaming torch passed between these pieces. See, this is a truly remarkable scene going on. And it's come from the Exodus story that God's just told Abraham about. Because here, the Lord God is represented by fire and smoke, and he walks between the two pieces. So let me go get my smoking fire pot. This is good for my step count for the day. Here we go. Here's our flaming torch. And over here is our smoke. And in between the pillars, we have the animals. And the Lord God passes through as fire and smoke as he walks through the animals, because he's making a covenant with Abraham that he and he alone is going to keep. That's lost blue tack, so that's just going to have to lay on the floor. Here's the other one. The Lord God walks between the pieces and makes a covenant. He walks between, or he passes over. It is the same word used in that promised Exodus story that God's just told Abraham about. Because this very odd moment where God walks between the pieces is a preview. It's a mini trailer of what's going to happen at the Passover, where God judges his enemies and he saves his people with a sacrificial lamb, which in itself is a mini preview. A mini trailer of the Lord God's super mega salvation event, when Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, dies to take away the sins of the world at the moment of the cross. See, not only here do we see God making a covenant, he's making a covenant that he'll be the one who will pay the price for the way that his people break his covenant and don't trust his promises. And so that is how, because of Jesus, that is how the Lord can declare unrighteous sinners who believe to be righteous. It is all of his work. Verse 18, on that day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your offspring I give this land. To your offspring, you will have a family. Tick. I give you this land. You will have a place to call home. Tick. And yet there are still times where God's people struggle to trust God's promises. I wonder if the music team can help me out. Esther, could you stand and hold up Worried Wendy? And Worried Wendy, she knows and trusts in the Lord Jesus. She knows that the Lord Jesus has done everything for her. And yet she's recently struggled to know if she's a part of God's family. How can I know for sure? How can I have confidence in that? What about anxious Armando? Are you happy to hold that one up for me? Anxious Armando. He also loves Jesus, but he lives in a place with a very uncertain future. And now he's questioning, is there really going to be a promised land? Is there really going to be this city that God has promised that is designed and built by him? Well, I wonder how we would seek to help Wendy and Armando in their fears. Well, how does God help Abraham? How does he comfort him? The Lord God has done everything for this relationship. He's brought everything to the table. And he has entered into a covenant with his people that he will keep on pain of death, so that we can receive a relationship, a right relationship with the one true God and be a part of his very large family. So Wendy and Armando, brothers and sisters, all we do is trust in Jesus. Let's pray together. Thank you. Fear not, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. Father, we thank you that you are the one who started the relationship, and we thank you that you promise that what you have started, you will complete. Thank you that we can encourage each other with these words and promises. And thank you that because of Jesus, we have been made righteous. We are in your family, and you will bring us home. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.